Hello, Polytopians. Thanks for tuning into the Polytopian Times. I'm your host, Sam, and today I'm joined by East Park. Great to have you back, East Park.
Hello, it's good to be here, Sam. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Today, folks, we have ourselves a very fun episode. I'm sure absolutely no one's going to be surprised that the episode after Imperius is the episode on Chinchi. And also, I pronounced it right this time.
Everyone's favorite cherry blossom tribe. Yay!
Yes, yes. And they at least have horses with actual ears.
Oh, yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
Ears are very important, aren't they?
Yeah, right? In my headcanon, at least, the Imperius horses have these like weird reptilian like ear hole things instead. I mean,
you know, the Imo Lamo also, they don't have ears. What's up with that?
Oh, you know, somebody's got to ask these questions. Well, let's hop right on in. Dawn breaks as you make your way through the last stretch of the range of steep snow-capped mountains bordering the Chinchi town of Poyobu, the first outpost of the Chinchi tribe you've come across. Below you, a road stretches out along the narrow valley, winding up to the distant town. Along the narrow mountain valley lie chinny trees, beautiful mounds of pink petals above their dark trunks swaying in the breeze. As you walk, the occasional blossom falls, the pink petals aglow against the pinkish-orange morning sky. As you make your way down the road, you pass a trader leading a white chinny kai horse, pulling a crate full of ixie fruit. The trader nods as they pass, the red horn-like protrusions on the front of their samurai-like helmet emphasizing the movement of their bobbing head. You nod back. The chinny kai horse passes by in a busy hustle, hooves clattering on the road and gray ears twitching atop its head, something definitively different from the Imperius breed. The cart bounces past you, full to the brim with bright orange ixie fruits, very much like oranges. After the cart passes, the road is peaceful once more, and you continue on your way as blossoms drift down around you, carried by the breeze. By noon, you reach the outskirts of Poyobu, a series of white plaster-covered wooden buildings with black wooden beams accenting the corners of the structures. The roofs are red angular peaks that almost mimic the surrounding mountains, with pointed eaves and occasional small window boxes. The Chinchi bustle around the town, working, gossiping, and trading the day away. Down the main road, you spot a small parade, a band of musicians playing flutes and stringed instruments and drums, leading a procession of vibrantly garbed Chinchi, each holding an egg brightly painted in fascinating patterns. The Chinchi holding the eggs are singing about a shield against the evil spirit of the mountain and the rebirth of hope. You've heard of the Chinchi's birth parades, and it's quite a spectacle in person. They finish their procession and gather around a rider coming down the road from the mountains behind you. The chinny kai horse comes to a standstill, and the rider gets down, opening a leather pouch on their side to reveal a bounty of pink chinny blossoms from high up the mountain, where they're freshest and purest. You've heard tales of the tea those blossoms can make, and how hard it is to obtain blossoms fresh enough to brew it. No doubt that rider was carrying a small fortune with him. You pull your eyes away from the spectacle and continue on down the road towards your destination for the next week, while you acclimate to the Chinchi's mountain air and culture. Soon it appears down the mean street, a three-story inn next to an open-air market, the only accommodations in town. It's not the Ritz, but it's a place to lay your head down. You head inside. Perhaps if you're in luck, they'll be able to make you a cup of the chinny blossom tea you've heard so much about. All right, folks. Well, I mean...
That was lovely.
Yes.
Lovely lore. I like that.
Well, thank you. Yes, we'll have a walk through each of these wonderful cities as we go. Now, let's talk about some more detail about the Chinchi, since we've...
I have a question about the lore.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, I heard that Chinchi is inspired by a combination of Chinese and Japanese culture.
Yeah, that is correct.
And so, I think you're pronouncing it right, Chinchi, right? I think that's the right way.
Yes, yeah. So I pronounced it Zinzi on the first iteration of this episode many moons back last year. Zoithrus promptly corrected me and let me know it's actually Chinchi with like a CH sound. So you got me.
I was saying it wrong for a long time, and Zoithrus said it's that Minju one says it's chinchi like chinchilla.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. That's which I mean, that's fair. I think there's a lot of fun contestation with that name. And I to an extent it's just tomato tomato, but you heard it here from us folks. Officially it's Chinchi. So if you have any doubts, I'm sorry if I have ruined your headcanon for this tribe.
And you know what else I found out interesting about the lore? If you go into the sprites
Yeah.
for like the images for the Chinchi terrain, like there's an official sprites folder. The Chinchi terrain, the mountains are all called Fuji. Did you know that?
Oh yes, yeah. It was based after Mount Fuji after all. Which is,
Yeah.
I mean, gives it that very fun aspect to it. Clearly, a little bit more Japanese inspiration than say Chinese, but I mean, if we're gonna throw them in there, why not throw in maybe some other Southeastern Asian cultures? Maybe the Koreans inspired a teensy bit of their naval warfare.
The helmets look like samurai helmets, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And the cherry blossoms, I think, right? Japan is famous for their cherry blossom orchards, right? So,
Oh, hands
yeah.
down. The architecture too is a lot closer to Japanese architecture than Chinese architecture. Although that is a lot harder to claim because that's where you're going to break down less, I guess. When you're
Yeah.
looking at ecosystems on an island, it's a lot easier to have something very distinct.
Yeah, I think aesthetically though, Chinchi is really like one of my favorites. I just love the way the game design is for that tribe. It's just really wonderful.
Yeah, they are very aesthetically pleasing. Just really cool cities, a lot of details in that. I mean, I'm not sure necessarily that any of the other free tribes have that really intricate level of detail in as many colors at play. I mean, Barter's kind of just brown and gray, wood and stone, and then you look at Imperius and everything's just marble. So, most colorful tribe too.
Yeah, I think of all the free tribes, Chinchi aesthetically is my favorite.
Yeah, totally can see that. So let's talk some more about that Chinchi land. Specifically, let's do dive into a little bit of a talk about their terrain and spawn rates. So nothing too crazy. Obviously, in their lands, they have a profusion of mountains. You're
No,
going.
wait. Wait, I thought Chinchi had a profusion of quicksand.
Oh yeah, they do. They
No,
have yeah. If you dig
obviously
under
mountains. You would
the mountains.
expect that this tribe that starts with climbing would have mountains. Wouldn't that be sad if they're like, nope, new mountains for you, but you get a bonus to climbing?
Yes, yeah. That would be quite a tear to their eye. Now, the nice thing on top of their enhanced mountain spawn rate, and they do have what is it, 1.8? So they got a 1.5 times bonus on the amount of mountains overall. They have fewer than average forests when you look at some of the other tribes, mostly because that space is eaten up by mountains. A lot of empty fields. Their fruit and their crops aren't anything special. They actually have a lot less hunting. So, if you're forced to go down that route, you're going to have less game available for it, but you have 1.5 times as much metal. So, like you're saying, you can farm a lot of eco if you go with mining early on, because that's
I
the most
think
reliable resource.
Chinchi, compared to any other tribe, Chinchi has the most metal. Is that right?
I do believe you are correct. No other tribe has the level of mountains that they have. And also, this is important because, for example, Imo does have that 1.5 times spawn bonus, but Chinchi does have that 1.5 times metal spawn bonus on top of it. So they have 50% more mountains and 50% more mines on those already increased amount of mountains.
Which so mountains plus mines potential equals forge land, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. They have a lot of growth potential there. And that is the one thing that really shines for them, but it's like this fun thing where you have to survive long enough to actually get to utilize it, right? And I mean, that's enough talking about spawn rates. We might as well dive into, well, a little more strategy overall. Let's start off right up at the top on strategy with some perks and some drawbacks. Obviously, they are able to rush swords faster than, I think, pretty much anyone but Vengir, obviously, starting with swords. And better at exploring, in my opinion, than Umagi, because they can actually see where they're going. They don't just run off into the middle of an empty desert if they don't realize that the fog doesn't have a city in that spot. So I think
it's debatable. I mean, Umagi and I would say Yadak are really, really good at exploring. Jinshi, so it depends on who your opponents are, right? So for your lands, if you have a lot of mountains, that'll get you through your lands. But if you're playing in a big free-for-all or something, and then you get to some other terrain that doesn't have mountains, well, then it doesn't really help you explore.
Yeah, but hopefully you do at least get some Borderlands visions. You know, like you can come up to the edge of probably Zabassi territory, for example, with their half-mountain spawn, right?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you can spot that first village and nab that before they get a spot at it, or maybe not. But I do see where you're coming from there. So they aren't the best at exploration either. They just are less aimless with it because they can see further generally. As long as, again, they have mountains, which is, it's always situational, but you do have a couple of bonuses in the early game because you're going to start out with a bunch of mountains.
Yeah, and that's the main thing Chinchi has going for it. The mount, yeah. The climbing, which gives you vision and defense bonuses. And then, yeah, access to things like metal and forges and swords. That's their main strengths.
Yeah, hands down. Now, I mean, they obviously have a clear drawback. And, I mean, next to the other drawback we already touched on. Now, we'll touch on the one we already touched on a little bit earlier, which is they can't always leverage their climbing early on. If you spawn in an FFA and you have 12 people all around you, again, you know, and you run into Zabassi lands, you won't be able to leverage climbing versus that first frontier spot. And again, they don't start with an economic deck like you're saying, so they don't have any way to level up their capital until they buy it, which sets them back. I mean, you really got to think about what that first tech you want to have is. So, I mean,
yeah.
Thinking about that, some good opens for Chinchi. First off, you're going to probably start with the mountain touching your capital, so you can send your warrior off to go stand on a mountain on turn one and go see a whole bunch of stuff. That's really nice. You can save yourself some explorers early on. But honestly, I don't know what your thoughts are here, but normally I go with a warrior on that first turn after you move your first one off onto a mountain. The second one to double up your exploration, and then you can get an ecotech the turn after.
Yeah, I almost always get two warriors. You know, I try to move my warriors onto a mountain to get vision where I think there's going to be another workshop. And then, you know, like any other, the way you play any other tribe is you look at the resources available and you get the tech. But the thing that's frustrating about Chinchi and other tribes like Imo is a lot of times they won't have two of the same resource. So then it's a really hard call. You're like, well, you know, any tech I get, I won't be able to get the workshop or level up my, so it's, then it's like, okay, do you wait and try to get mining, or again, it just depends on the map, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what are your spawns are? So if you have enough, probably crops, even though it's just like a 0.01% difference between game and fruit, you're going to have a couple less forests, which means you're going to have even less game than you would fruit, probably. But if you can get either hunting or organization to level up one or two cities enough to get you to mining, definitely go for it. That's probably the easiest way to get going on that route. But if you want a reliable way to tap into eco for basically the remainder of the game, you could always make that second warrior and then wait, what, two turns? Ought to be enough to have enough to get mining.
Yeah, and I mean, Chinchi don't have, they have a fair number of forests, not as many of other tribes, but, you know, they do have some forests. So one thing we were talking about before is, you know, at some point you want to get forestry, you know, and diplomacy that also has chop, because sometimes you need to chop some trees to get the perfect forge spot.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely true. And that's going to be something that really rings out specifically for Chinchi. Obviously, if you wind up in a naval confrontation down the road, you'll want to have good customs house spots for that, I guess, too. But yeah, primarily, it's probably only going to be something you worry about in terms of forages, and you are going to run into that frequently. But I guess the nice thing is, you know, you don't have to run off in two different directions, although with Chinchi, you know, if you can get away with hunting, you should do it early on, right? Because it does line you up for getting chopped later on and, you know, continued economic growth, although probably mining first. But even then, the resources just don't favor that play. Like, right, you're spawning with fewer game than you are with fruit, and both of those are honestly kind of a disappointing default rate at best. I mean, game's, yeah, what, 90% of what it ought to be instead of a full 100?
Yeah, and then, I mean, we were talking about this before, like, sometimes the smart play is to go for riding, and then, I mean, riding on mountains, talk about exploring, right? You can really fast, and sometimes rushing riders can be really smart. Again, it depends on if you're playing a 1v1 or a team game, right? Like,
there's honestly,
that's the beautiful thing about Polytopia, right? It's like there's so many different aspects and so many things that you know, depending on whether it's a small map or what the map type is, and if you're playing a big game or a small game, there's, it's always, right, it's always, it depends. Chinchi is, you know, it's not the strongest tribe, but it's not the worst tribe, but it can, again, if you can get that synergy between mines and get some forges, then you can pump out your giants, and that can be so powerful combined with swordsmen.
100%. That, and you can get some okay exploration expansion early on. I mean, on the note of riders, in this current meta, rider spam is kind of the go-to win in the early and the mid game, and it works in the late game too. So honest, any tribe's gonna want it.
Kind of, I mean,
it was, but there were some rivals for, oh, who should you rush first? Because I know some people were proponents of early knight spam on occasion. I'm glad to see that gone.
You got to go through riders. I feel like there has never been an iteration of the game where rider spam was not, you know,
a
big part of the game.
Yeah, and that's, yeah, you know, where you're like, oh, yeah, riders with Chinchi are really great. You're going to want them no matter what. So definitely use them to go from mountain to mountain.
It's like riders in Polytopia. I mean, to start out, but
yeah, synergy.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, Chinchi is really, can be really fun to play, but could also be really frustrating. You know, again, just depends on the map.
Yeah. That's true. Well, speaking of, how about playing against him?
Right. So, again, that depends on, right, so if you're talking with your opponent, like sometimes you're limited based on tribe points, things like that, you know, so yeah, what's a good counter? Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
They're what a genericish tribe. You know, it's like with Imperius. What's the perfect counter for them? There's some things they can do. There's some things they can't do. With Imperius, you know, you can maybe have them in and try and keep them distracted so they can't make cloaks early on, right? But Chinchi, good luck trying to stop them from getting swords if they want swords. If they want mines, they're going to have them. Then there's nothing you can do about that. So I guess the best thing you can do is what you do with most tribes in the early game, and that's forward settle them, hammer them in so they can't expand well, and they don't start with the turn zero start, so just try and out economy them. It's going to take them a while to get to mine, so if you are building up your economy and are advanced past them, they're going to have a nightmarish time trying to catch up.
But let's say you can only pick a non-T0 tribe, right? A tribe that doesn't have that way to build their economy fast. What non-T0 tribe would you pick? I would say maybe Quetzali.
Oh, that's a solid. Honestly, Yadok, for example, is not technically a turn zero tribe, but it's like a turn 0.5 tribe like Cymanti. There's a couple of tribes that are sort of like that that's useful. Or, I mean, it depends on the map spawn, you know, what type we're on. There's a, maybe Cymanti would be a bad call on a watery map, but Aquarian would be a fun way to counter them.
Yadok would be fine. Quetzali. I might even argue
on a small map, Vendir
might be okay if you're playing on a small map, because Imo has, again, like resource distribution is also very, you know, kind of not unpredictable, but varied. Like it's could be you have one animal and you have one fruit and it's like, but they also have decent minds. But then with the early Altar of Peace, I think you can kind of get ahead with your economy. So Imo could be a count, but yeah, I think Yadok is a good pick, or Quetzali, if you were limited to non-T0.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, those are two really solid ones, especially Quetz. So Yadok's great at expanding, but like you're saying, Quetz has got that early cloak rush if they want to, then they have a lot of fruit. A lot better resources than Chinchi has. That's for sure.
Yeah. Quetz, I think, I'm still figuring out Quetzali in the new diplomacy meta and how's, you know, the best way. Do you rush cloaks? I haven't practiced it enough, I think, to really get a good feel for it. But Quetzali is definitely stronger than it used to be, right?
Oh, absolutely. That's without a doubt. But yeah, it's kind of hit or miss. Well, I mean, that's strategy against Chinchi, but why would we use them?
Honestly, I only use them if there's rules that say I can't use a T0 tribe. You know, like if we're playing a team game and you only have a certain number of points and you're like, all right, well, I guess I'll use Chinchi. I mean, really, there are other tribes that are better. I hate to say it.
There are. It's so hard to try and reco them. I mean, I generally use them when I pity my opponent or underestimate them, usually both.
I mean, even when there was this challenge we did called Total Forgery, where you wanted to get as many forges as possible, I think that was the one time when you used Chinchi, but even with that, sometimes people used other tribes. But if there's a contest specifically that, like, you know, you're focusing on Chinchi, but otherwise usually you don't.
yeah they're just not, even at forges, probably Vengir can either match or outdo them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's rough to be Chinchi, I guess. So to give a serious, straight-faced answer to it, I guess there's early access to Swordsman. That's wonderful. Not as early as Vengir, but like you'll get an economy before they do with that. Mm-hmm. And like not as fast early game exploration, but technically more efficient, again, because you move with purpose, quote-unquote. It's what they do, like you said, any other tribe can do better. It's like that one song.
Anything you can do, I can do better.
I can do anything better than Chinchi. So, yes. Folks, I believe that wraps up our chat about Chinchi today. Thanks for joining into our wonderful touch base on this tribe. Again, it's good to be running back through these. Neespark, it is good to have you back on.
My pleasure. It's good to be here. Thanks, Sam.
Of course. Well, before we hop on out, did you have any plugs you wanted to throw out?
Plugs. Good. Oh, shoot. I should have had something prepared. There is a contest going on in Polymane right now. It is focusing on diplomacy. I believe it's called Riot Act. So that's fun if people want to do a single game challenge. Also, in Poly Champions, we are starting a new 2v2 tournament. It's called Double Dash, and the focus on that is playing quickly. You have to take your turns within 12 hours. If you get to the yellow, then you get a penalty. A teammate who's in the same time zone as you and be prepared for some fast team plays. So those are the only two fun things that I want to put in a plug for right now. Yeah.
Very nice, very nice. Definitely something to go check out, folks. Hop on over to Polymane and Polychance. Check them out. Double Dash can be a real fun time. And over here, we're just excited to announce the upcoming Umaji episode and Barter. We've got touch base on the last two of our free tribes. And above and beyond that, just waiting like a lost puppy for replays to come back for the YouTube channel. Otherwise, we'll probably throw out another bot game so it doesn't stagnate too much, but folks, we are waiting to get some proper multiplayer content back up. Well, thanks as always for tuning in, and until next time, see ya.